me the money.
I tell you, I flatly refuse.
Why are you doing this to me? You know I've got to go to this party tonight.
I'll borrow it from your gambling friends. Heaven knows you've lost enough to them.
How dare you try to humiliate me?
I humiliate you? What about me? When all London knows of this insane obsession of yours.
Will you give me the money?
Not another penny.
I'll do something desperate.
Well, do what you like. You're not having any more of my money to throw down the drain.
I warn you, I want that money and I mean to get it.
Are you threatening me?
If you don't, I'll...
Put that down. Have you gone out of your senses?
The money.
Keep away with that. Keep away.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Keep away, you're raving. Keep off.
BBC presents A Case for Dr. Morell, another adventure by Ernest Dudley, with Cecil Parker as the famous Dr. Morell and Sheila Sim as his secretary, Miss Frail. The Gambler.
Bonjour, madame, monsieur. Vous êtes chanté. Rien ne va plus. Rien ne va plus. Ne me restez ici.
But look, I...
Margaret, please.
But it's unfair. I put £5.
Numéro 7, rue Jean-Pierre.
I tell you, I put £5 en plein on number 7.
Numéro 6, madame.
It was on 6, darling. Bad luck and all that, but really...
It was 7. That woman there moved it when she staked her money.
Are you accusing me?
I saw you move my safe.
What utter nonsense. You must be crazy.
I'm sure she's mistaken.
I'm not mistaken. She lost me that bet. I won't stand for
You'll
it.
You'll be asked to leave if you carry on like that.
But if it wasn't for that fool of a woman, I'd have won.
For heaven's sake, keep quiet.
Bonjour, madame, monsieur.
If she does it again, I'll see she's the one who leaves.
Undoubtedly, there is an element of inner uncertainty underlying most of the everyday decisions which human beings have to make. In minor or major situations which individuals constantly have to face, they can act only on the basis of partial knowledge. Have you got that, Miss Payne?
Yes, Dr. Morell.
I'm not going too fast for you.
No, I'm managing to keep up.
What is most typical of the gambler is that he fails to grasp that the outcome of an event can be independent of what has occurred in similar circumstances in the past. Yet one more proof of human stupidity to regard a series of separate independent events as a single continuous event.
Like that wretched Mrs. Ludlow woman.
She was a typical example of someone who refused to accept that the spin of a coin was not influenced by the way it had spun before.
Only she was more interested in the spin of a roulette wheel.
So obsessed with it that she was dragged into a vortex of disaster and death.
It all started with that strange business of the telephone box. You remember, Dr. Morell, that night when we were walking along the Chelsea Embankment. Lovely night, Doctor. Even if there is a bit of a mist off the river.
We'll walk a little way further and then get a taxi.
That's a free my imagination.
Since I also can hear it, that disproves any such notion.
It's the phone in this call box. Listen, Doctor.
People who don't possess a telephone sometimes arrange to receive a call in a public telephone box.
But there's nobody waiting.
I had already observed that.
Perhaps someone's got onto the call box number by mistake.
That may be an explanation.
Well, I wonder if we should answer it.
What concern should it be of ours?
Well, none at all, I know, but it might be someone in need of help or something.
You mean you cannot resist giving way to that feminine curiosity of yours?
I'm going to answer it. Oh, thank you, Doctor.
I'll hold the door open for you.
Do you want to hear what it's all about?
Nothing of the kind.
I believe your masculine curiosity is just as great as mine. Hello?
Is that Dr. Franklin's house? It's Mrs. Ludlow. Tell him to come quickly. Something terrible to happen.
Well, this isn't Dr. Franklin.
He must come at once. It's my husband.
Dr. Morell.
What is it, Miss Rayle?
Someone's phoning for a doctor.
Well, let me speak to them. Hello? This is...
Doctor, come quickly. It's Mrs. Ludlow. It's my husband.
Where are you?
At home. Something dreadful's happened.
Mrs. Ludlow. What's the address?
My home. 32 Blakeney Street, off Sloane Street. Oh, please, hurry, please.
I'll come straight away.
What an extraordinary thing, Doctor.
Well, she must have dialed the wrong number in her agitation.
Is her husband ill?
It would appear so. Let's get a taxi.
Okay, there's one just coming. Taxi! Taxi! Oh, it's not going to stop. Taxi! Oh, Dr. Morell is going past.
Taxi?
Yes, sir. Where to, sir?
Oh, hurry, hurry. It's, now what was it? 32 Blakeney Street, off Sloane Street.
Where to, sir?
32 Blakeney Street, off Sloane Street.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, is this the house?
One would imagine so, since the taxi stopped here. Thank you.
Many thanks, sir.
Yes, this is it, number 32.
Splendid, Miss Frail.
Doctor, I've suddenly thought of something.
Have you?
You don't think it may be a stupid hoax?
We shall know in a moment.
Oh, there's somebody coming. Oh, Doctor, thank heavens. But you're not Dr. Franklin.
I am Dr. Morell. My secretary and I happen to be passing a telephone box, which you dialed by mistake.
I dialed a public call box, yes. And just by chance, I answered it. I was so upset, I didn't know what I was doing. I must have got the number mixed up.
That is what I surmised.
But you say you're a doctor. Yes, of course, it's Dr. Morell, and I'm Miss Frail.
You are Mrs. Ludlow?
Oh, yes, I phoned Dr. Franklin. He's our doctor.
I understand your husband has been taken ill.
Come in, please. I'd just come back when I telephoned. I'd been out to a party.
Where is your husband?
In the study. At least I believe he is.
Don't you know?
Oh, will you come with me, please? This is the study. Oh,
haven't you seen your husband, Mrs. Ludlow?
Not since I went out.
But you said something had happened to him.
Oh, I'm sure it has. I've a terrible feeling about him.
You mean a premonition, Mrs. Ludlow, and that's what brought you back from the party?
Yes, that's right. I had a foreboding that something had happened to him.
If you were so concerned for him, you would have found him the moment you returned.
I was afraid to...
Afraid? Afraid of what?
I left him in his study. When I came back, I knocked at the door, but there was no reply. Alex! Oh, he doesn't answer.
Why are you so certain he's in there?
I know he is. I know something's happened to him. But I'm afraid to go in and see for myself.
Is the door locked?
I don't know. I was going to try it, then I couldn't.
Dr. Morell, what are we going to do?
The obvious for once, my dear Miss Frail. Go in.
Oh, well, it's not locked anyway.
Is he there?
Where's that switch?
Oh, he's not here. Well,
there's no one here at all, Mrs. Ludlow.
Well, he must be. I knew he was in here. You see, I'd left him here. When I came back, I was so certain that he was still here. But I was too terrified to see for myself.
Madam, are you all right?
Oh, Simmons, yes. There's nothing the matter.
I heard voices and... good evening, sir.
This is our manservant, Simmons.
Good evening.
Dr. Morell and Miss Frail are here because I thought Mr. Ludlow was ill.
Ill, madam, but
it's nothing. There's been a mistake.
I heard voices and I thought I'd better come and see who it was.
Very thoughtful of you. But everything's perfectly under control.
Very good, madam.
I'll go upstairs, Doctor, and see if my husband's there.
That would, I suggest, be a good idea.
You can go back to bed, Simmons.
Thank you, but I won't do that, madam. In case there may be anything I can do...
All right, just as you like.
I'll go along to the kitchen, madam. I'll be there if I'm wanted.
All right, Simmons. If you care to wait here, Doctor.
Very well, Mrs. Ludlow.
I'll let you know about my husband.
Ordinary woman, Dr. Morell.
She is suffering from a somewhat hysterical state.
Didn't you notice that beautiful evening dress she was wearing? It must have cost the earth.
Most interesting, Miss Frail.
Yes, but you won't let me finish. It isn't her dress.
It isn't?
No, it's her shoes. She wasn't wearing any shoes.
That hadn't entirely escaped my notice.
Oh, don't you see how peculiar it is? A beautiful woman in that gorgeous dress and not wearing any shoes and phoning up about her husband. What are you looking at, Doctor?
On the writing desk. And on the floor, just over here. Spots of blood.
Dr. Morell, you mean it's human blood?
That will be a matter for investigation. Linked as it is with Mrs. Ludlow's behavior, the discovery has some significance.
You think her husband's been killed and then someone's removed the body?
I have no intention of committing myself.
Anyway, it looks as if there was more to it than just premonition or foreboding. Shall I go and find her?
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Morell, and this is my secretary, Miss Frail.
Doctor, what are you doing here?
I was asked to come here.
By whom?
Mrs. Ludlow.
Are you Mr. Ludlow?
I'm not. But why does Mrs. Ludlow send for you? Is anyone ill?
As a matter of interest, who are you?
I'm Mr. Ludlow's business associate. My name is Ellis.
I suppose you wouldn't know where Mr. Ludlow is.
In his room, I imagine. He retired about his usual time.
So far as you know.
I'm staying with him. We have some business matters to discuss. I went to bed early and I left him here.
And what brought you down again?
I woke up a little while ago and I couldn't sleep. I thought I'd come down and get a book to read. But this still doesn't explain why you were sent for at this hour.
Mrs. Ludlow was under the impression something had happened to her husband.
Where is Mrs. Ludlow now?
She's gone upstairs to see if her husband is in fact all right.
I must say, I find all this very puzzling.
No, it's not exactly crystal clear to us.
You say you've met Mrs. Ludlow, Doctor?
I have, for the first time tonight.
I see.
Why? Do you mean... Well, that...
well, no doubt, Doctor. You have realized that her nerves are not all they should be.
It had occurred to me that she is somewhat overwrought.
She's neurotic and inclined to be hysterical.
One might receive that impression.
It's this damnable gambling business.
Gambling?
Yes, she's utterly obsessed with it. Night after night, she goes to these gaming parties, plays till all hours of the morning. It's caused her husband great distress.
I can understand that.
Not long ago, one of these parties was raided by the police. She was involved in the scandal. Well, you can imagine what that sort of thing is doing to Ludlow's business.
What precisely are you trying to tell me?
I suppose I do sound as if I've got something on my mind. Frankly, Doctor, there have been quarrels between them lately. He's begged her to give it up, refused to let her have another penny to gamble with. There was a dreadful scene tonight between them before she went off. I heard them from my room. I can't help wondering if...
If what?
If she didn't do something to harm Mr. Ludlow. In her hysterical temper, I mean.
You didn't hear her return and her telephoning the doctor?
I didn't, as a matter of fact. I woke up only a few minutes ago.
What time did you hear them quarreling?
Oh, it would be about 10 o'clock. I heard the front door slam and I presumed she'd gone out and her husband had gone to bed. He wanted an early night. You see, we have a long conference tomorrow with other partners in the firm.
Perhaps I'd better speak to Mrs. Ludlow.
You say she went up to see if her husband was all right.
That, she informed me, was her intention.
Their bedroom is on the first floor. You turn left at the top of the stairs and it's the door facing you. Well, if you want me again, I shall be about somewhere.
Thank you. If you'll remain here, Miss Freya.
Yes, Doctor? Oh, Dr. Morrell.
What is it?
The bloodstains. Should I say anything about them to him?
I feel it scarcely matters one way or the other.
Well, I think it's better if he doesn't know.
Just as you wish, Miss Frail.
And don't forget the shoes, Dr. Morrell. I'm sure there's something sinister to do with them.
I'll bear that in mind, Miss Frail.
Good.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
Oh, Dr. Morrell.
What is it, Simmons?
I thought I should mention something to you, sir. It's to do with Mrs. Ludlow. Or rather, Mr. Ellis. He's staying here.
I have just met him. Yes.
Oh. Well, I chanced to see him going into the kitchen just now, sir. He was carrying a pair of shoes. Mrs. Ludlow's evening shoes.
Presumably that was before he came to the study.
He put them into the boiler to burn.
Was he unaware that you observed him?
Yes, sir. I was in the pantry.
I see.
When he'd gone, I got the shoes out of the fire. They're badly burned, but I thought that...
What did you think?
I simply couldn't understand why Mr. Ellis should want to burn them. How did he come by them?
Where are they now?
In the kitchen.
I'd like to see them.
Yes, Doctor. This way, if you please. Here they are, Doctor. As you see, they were hardly worth saving.
Mm-hmm. They're badly burned. Otherwise, there seems to be nothing about them of any significance.
They were lovely. Mrs. Ludlow bought them in Italy.
Keep them to show her later on.
I will, Doctor, of course.
I'm going up to see her now. I may mention this matter to her.
Yes.
Mrs. Ludlow.
Oh, Doctor, I was just coming down to see you. My husband...
Perhaps I could have a word with you.
Yes, come into this room.
You were about to say something concerning your husband.
Only that he isn't up here. He must have gone out.
I'm not well acquainted with his habits. But isn't the hour rather late for him to be out... Taking into account your earlier anxiety about him.
Oh, I know. I was very upset. I didn't know what I was saying or doing.
I noticed that you have put on some shoes.
Shoes? Oh, yes. You see, I've lost the other pair.
Lost them?
Oh, if you want to know, it was at Felix Gray's roulette party. I'd lost all my money, and the only thing I had left of any value were my shoes.
Italian with diamante heels. It cost me £80, and I sold them to Felix for 20.
And what happened to the £20?
Well, it went the way of all the other money.
You're sure this is the true explanation of the missing shoes?
Absolutely true. Why should I want to lie about that?
Or was it, as you said earlier, because of fear for your husband?
I should have left in any case. There was no point in my staying without any money. But when I got back, this terrible feeling took hold of me. You're a doctor. You must realize that I'm dreadfully overwrought. And you know what that sort of thing can do to one's imagination.
If it is your imagination.
You don't believe me about those shoes. Of course I sold them to Felix Gray. His wife admired them when I brought them back from Venice. She takes the same size as I do. Oh, if you don't believe me, telephone Felix and ask him.
I think, Mrs. Ludlow, I will.
The number's Chelsea 0226.
Thank you.
Oh, Felix will be there, all right. Play was in full swing when I left. Felix's wife adored them the first time she saw me wearing them.
I can hear the number ringing, but apparently no one's there to answer.
There must be, I tell you. The party will be going on till morning. Oh, they must be playing. They must be.
Bonjour, madame, monsieur. Zero for me every time.
Not again, Felix. You must be mad.
It's come up twice already.
It can't come up again.
Bonjour, madame, monsieur. Please, my lucky number tonight.
All that money you've won, you're not going to risk it on zero a third time.
Why not? I tell you, three is my lucky number.
Felix, that's the phone.
So what? Let it ring.
Well, aren't you going to answer it?
No, it might interrupt my lucky streak. Bonjour, madame, monsieur.
Perhaps it's the police.
In that case, definitely let it ring.
Bonjour, sans fait. I can't bear to watch this, Felix.
Don't worry, Zero will come up. We end up you. No more text, please.
I tell you, I can't look, Felix.
I'm looking.
Numero
zero.
Zero? It's zero.
You've done it. You've done it again.
I said three is my lucky number tonight.
How much is it you won now?
Well, I can't count it. It must be packets and packets.
Good old Felix.
Good old Zero, old boy. I think I'll try it again.
Still no reply, Mrs. Ludlow.
Oh, they must be there, Dr. Morell. They just won't answer. Maybe someone's had a lucky streak and they're too excited to take any notice.
Possibly.
Oh, but I swear I sold those shoes to Felix. Look, I can show you the very same shoes.
I'm not concerned with any others.
Oh, but these are just the same as those I sold. They're in this cupboard.
They won't prove anything.
Oh, I'll show you. They're in here. Oh! Oh, Alex. Alex, oh, Doc Morell.
Mrs. Ludlow.
Is he?
Yes. I'm afraid your husband is dead.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
No one is accusing you.
But you don't know the real truth. I didn't tell you the real truth.
In which case, this might be a good moment to do so.
Oh, you see, I tried to kill him in a wild rage earlier this evening. I attacked him with a dagger in his study. Oh, the stiletto he uses for a paper knife. He wouldn't give me any more money to go to the party with, and I was so infuriated, I completely lost my head. I went for him with the dagger. I cut his hands. And then I realized what I was doing, that I'd gone quite out of my mind for the moment. That's all I did.
It explains the presence of the blood on the desk and the carpet.
It's this gambling. It's a terrible fever. I can't break away from it. But I didn't kill him, Doctor. I didn't do it. When I left him, he was all right. I know he was. He went upstairs to see to his hands. But he was all right. Oh, please believe it. I didn't do it.
There are wounds on his hands which he'd attended to with plaster. The stab wound which killed him is in his back.
What shall I do? What shall I do?
Where are the pair of shoes you were so anxious for me to see?
Shoes? Oh, they're not here. They've gone.
Have they indeed?
Oh, but what does it matter now? What does anything matter, Alex? Oh, Alex.
It may matter considerably. Now, Mrs. Ludlow, I suggest that you remain here while I go downstairs. The police will have to be called.
The police?
Actually. But first, I want to speak to your friend, Mr. Ellis.
Mr. Ellis? But what can he know about this?
Well, that remains to be seen. Wait here.
Very well. Very well.
Shocking news, Doctor. Shocking. I don't know what to say.
I can tell you what you can say, Mr. Ellis. You can say something about Mrs. Ludlow's shoes, which you attempted to destroy.
The shoes, Dr. Morrell? You mean...
You know about that.
You were observed burning them in the kitchen.
Well, I suppose it was wrong of me, but can you blame me for trying to protect her?
Mrs. Ludlow?
I knew that if they were found with the bloodstains on them, she wouldn't stand an earthly chance.
I felt convinced that your action was inspired by some motive not at first apparent.
I heard them quarreling, as I told you just now. When she'd gone, I couldn't find her husband.
She'd killed him and then hidden him in the cupboard.
It seems so. As you've seen, Doctor, she's quite a powerful woman and violent. He was a smallish man.
Or perhaps Simmons helped her to carry him upstairs.
Maybe. Anyway, as I said, I went to bed. When she came back and there was all the commotion of your arrival, I went along to ask her where Alex was. She wasn't in her room. But I saw her shoes. She must have kicked them off. And I saw the spots of blood.
Oh, so that's what it was. I knew there was something strange about it.
The rest you know, Dr. Morrell.
The rest I know.
Well, I'd better see the wretched woman. She may need a friendly word. I was her husband's friend as well as partner.
Do so, by all means.
I'll go on up.
Do you think the manservant is mixed up in it? Oh, that'll be the police, Doctor.
In which case, they've exhibited extraordinary powers of intuition.
Well, what do you mean? Haven't you phoned for them?
Not yet.
Simmons is going to answer it. Dr. Morrell, do you know what I believe?
Tell me, Miss Vale.
No, sorry to disturb you and all that, but I saw a light on.
Yes, Mr. Graham?
And I thought I might look in and see Mrs. Ludlow.
I don't know, Mr. Gray. She's not very well.
Oh, really? Very sorry to hear that. Perhaps if I could see her, I might be able to cheer her up.
Really, sir, I don't know. You see...
Who is it, Simmons?
It's a friend of Mrs. Ludlow's, Doctor. Mr. Felix Gray.
Doctor...
I am Dr. Morrell. I very much regret that Mrs. Ludlow is indisposed.
Yes, so I hear. I was saying I might be able to cheer her up. I brought her back her shoes.
Her shoes?
Yes, she sold them to me for 20 quid when we were playing roulette tonight. Well, poor darling, she was desperate and lost the 20 as well. I've had such a lucky break, I had to come along and give them back to her.
That's extremely thoughtful of you, I'm sure.
But if you think I oughtn't to see her...
It might be better if she wasn't disturbed.
Oh, then perhaps you can give them to her with my love.
I shall be pleased to do that.
Here you are, then, and I'll telephone her in the morning.
Thank you.
Well, I'll say good night.
Good night.
Good night, Simmons.
Good night. Shall I take them up to Mrs. Ludlow, Doctor?
I think I will.
Dr. Morrell, what have you got there? What lovely shoes, all diamante. Why, Doctor...
The individual to whom Miss Ludlow sold them at the roulette game has returned them.
Mr. Felix Gray.
Mrs. Ludlow's shoes. Then she was telling the truth.
So it would appear.
Doctor, what have I done? If I hadn't noticed about them, you might never have suspected her.
Well, I have not infrequently warned you against jumping to conclusions, Miss Frayle.
I know.
Fortunately, however, your suspicions are proved unfounded.
Yes, well, you must admit it sounded peculiar to sell the very shoes you stand up in so that you can carry on gambling.
It is not untypical of the gambling obsession which can grip an unbalanced mind.
What about Mr. Ellis? I mean the shoes he burned.
What about him, Miss Frayle?
Well, why did he do it? He must have seen that they weren't bloodstained.
You would have thought so.
Well, there was no reason to try to shield Mrs. Ludlow by destroying them.
Was that why he said he did it, Doctor?
Yes, he did. And all the time there was no need, was there, Dr. Morrell?
No need at all.
In fact, all he succeeded in doing was drawing attention to her.
On occasions, Miss Frayle, I can almost convince myself I can actually hear the cogs in your brain clicking over.
What was that, Doctor?
It might have been a door closing.
Yes, that's what I thought. It sounded as though it was upstairs. Where are you going? Well, I'm coming with you.
You would be better employed telephoning the police.
The police? You mean... Oh, he's gone. I'd better do what he says. Simmons.
Yes, Miss Frayle?
Perhaps you'd do it.
Do what, Miss Frayle?
Telephone the police.
The police? Very well.
Tell them to come quickly. Say Dr. Morrell's here. I'm going up after him to see what's going on.
Mr. Ellis, it's Dr. L here.
What's happening, Doctor?
You've been very quick informing police.
Yes, they're on their way. Or at least
Are they on their way or aren't they?
Well, I told Simmons to phone for them.
I seem to recall asking you to telephone them yourself.
Yeah, I know, but he was there and I wanted to know... Well, I was afraid you might be in danger.
I find your solicitude for my welfare most touching. I would prefer it, however, if you merely obeyed instructions.
Yes, well, I'm very sorry, but you don't think well, Simmons is all right, isn't he?
A short while ago, you thought he was implicated.
Yes, but now it isn't, Mrs. Ludlow. Well, where is she?
Where I ordered her to remain, in her room.
And Mr. Ellis, he's locked himself in here.
Unless you can offer any other explanation for my not being able to enter.
Mr. Ellis! Oh, it's locked. Well, Doctor, what are we going to do?
Once again, the obvious course offers the quickest solution.
Oh, Dr. Morell! Mr. Ellis! Oh, Doctor, is he...
As I anticipated, we are too late.
Oh, look, that knife.
The same dagger with which he stabbed Ludlow.
He must have heard Mrs. Ludlow's friend with her shoes and realized the game was up. I suppose he was in love with her. She's very beautiful.
How your mind does run on.
But why should he murder her husband?
Well, this note may tell you. It is his full confession.
Oh, what a dreadful business.
It seems Ludlow had discovered that Ellis was defrauding him. There was a quarrel in which he killed him. He had overheard Mrs. Ludlow's quarrel earlier and saw an opportunity to put the blame upon her.
Dr. Morell, I... Oh.
What is it, Simmons?
The police, Dr. Morell. The police have arrived.
Oh, I don't see a taxi anywhere, Dr. Morell. Do you?
The hour is somewhat late to expect a taxi at one's beck and call.
I can't wait to get away from this part of the world as quickly as possible. Oh, look, couldn't we walk the other way?
What is amiss?
That telephone box, the thought of the phone starting to ring as we pass is too much.
Really, Miss Frail, you must control your imagination.
Well, it's all very well for you, but I'm terrified to go into a call box again. Oh, look, there's a taxi. Taxi! 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 Oh, it's not going to stop. Taxi! Oh, Dr. Morell is going past.
Taxi?
Yes, sir. What do, sir?
Oh, home, as quick as you can. 221B Harley Street.
Where to, sir?
221B Harley Street, please, driver.
Righto, sir.
That was another adventure in a BBC series featuring Ernest Dudley's famous character, Dr. Morell, and, of course, his secretary, Miss Frail. The artists taking part were Dr. Morell, Cecil Parker, Miss Frail, Sheila Sim, Mrs. Ludlow, Harriet Johns, Mr. Ellis, Desmond Carrington, Felix Gray, Jimmy Laval, Simmons, the manservant, Arthur Young, a man, Simon Lack, a girl, Beryl Corder. This recorded program was produced by Leslie Bridgemont. ¶¶